Welcome back to the second hour of the Brad Show here on Raw Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, it is once again hour number two. No, for the first time, it's hour number two of Raw Radio's The Brad Show, where the unstoppable power of the citizen investigative blogger meets the indefatigable truth of internet journalists, cutting straight through the mainstream crap live on the airwaves. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I'm getting a lot of good notes out there that, in fact, we are going out. I'm sort of flying blind here because I've got no internet connection. And, well, apparently we're getting out there, and I appreciate all of you guys tuning in. I'm Brad Friedman, the blogger at bradblog.com. This is the premiere episode of The Brad Show in cooperation with rawstory.com, spawning together to create the media hellstorm known as Raw Radio. We're broadcasting coast to coast, I think, around the world via the IBC satellite radio network. So thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to get up on the air. We were supposed to do this in a few months, and they said, hey, you want to do it tomorrow? I said, hey, sure, we can do anything here at the Brad Show. We're doing it without a producer. We're doing it even without a clue, but I think we're having a good time. In our third and fourth hour, well, in our third hour, we're going to have RawStory.com deputy managing editor and investigative journalist Larissa Alexandrovna, who has broken some big news this week about this Baker-Carter Election Reform Commission that has been secretly convened to handle all of the election problems that we had back in November of 2004, so she'll tell us a little bit about that. In our final hour, we will have Tribune Syndicate editor and columnist Robert Kohler. He is a mainstream journalist who I met about a week ago at the Nashville Election Reform Conference where I spoke. I met Mr. Kohler. He was on a panel with me. He's a mainstream media guy, and I thought, and he was the only one who was willing to show up on a panel with me. I thought he was the bravest guy in the world because I was ready to tear him a new one. And then I found out he was one of the good guys. As a matter of fact, his column this week says that the election 2004 was stolen. What did he say here? He said the election, 2004 election was stolen. Will someone please tell the media? Holy cow. Our guest right now is Andy Stevenson. He is with VelvetRevolution.us. Oh, I've heard of them. They're great. He's also the education director for Vote Trust USA. He has spent the last 3 years investigating voting machines and the companies that make them. Formerly, he was with Black Box Voting. Andy was pivotal to bringing the problems into the public's conscience, those problems of voting machines and what really goes on inside. Andy continues his education and investigative campaign to this day, and he's planning an education tour this summer to teach others to audit elections. Hey, Andy, are you there?
I am. How you doing, Brad?
Wow, that worked. Welcome to the Brad Show. I really appreciate you coming on and suffering through us trying to figure out how to go out coast to coast on the air. So thank you, my friend.
You're doing great.
It. Oh, thank you. You were able to hear the first hour, were you?
Oh, perfectly.
Oh, that's good. I wasn't. Did you enjoy it?
I did, okay. Very much.
Is that Clint Curtis guy?
Yeah, he's got an amazing story to tell, but doesn't surprise me.
Big liar. Big liar. Anyway, no, he's not a liar. He passed the lie detector test. So
he did, didn't he?
Yes, he did. You know, I think that's impressive, but what do I know? Listen, you're talking about auditing elections, and you're going to teach people how to audit elections. What does that mean? How do you audit elections?
Well, you do a public records request and then look through the records and see if you find problems and things like that, and generally you will.
You will.
I find problems all the time. Oh, yeah, I find problems all the time in my own elections office here in King County.
You're in King County, Washington?
Washington State, right.
Now, you were down in Florida right after November elections. You guys were, I understand, looking through some trash down there.
There were actually activists, Florida activists, that were looking through the trash as the elections office was carrying boxes of trash out and dumping them.
Now, of course, they have to dump their trash. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's a problem when there's poll tapes and elections materials that have voters' names, address, social security numbers, those types of things. That's a problem.
Yeah, now, that material is supposed to be kept because it's official material, correct?
Correct. Absolutely.
All right. Now, what were you doing down there? What were you guys looking at after the November election down in Florida?
Well, we had done a FOIA request. This we being Black Box Voting, we had done a FOIA request on election night.
That's the Freedom of Information Act.
Right.
Okay.
And we had gone down there to pick up a few of the FOIA requests that we had made. And actually, we were able to take a really good look at Glades County and Volusia County in particular.
What were you looking for down there?
Well, omissions, and actually the Volusia find was really quite by accident. We had requested the poll tapes. The poll tapes are printed on the machine. They print in the morning a zero tape, and then in the afternoon they print a totals tape of how many votes were cast on that machine. And they print a tape. It looks like a cash register receipt. It has all the votes and you know, the races, and everything's broken down.
Okay, so you found these tapes.
The ones they gave us, that they presented to us as official copies, were dated November the 15th, and none of them were signed. Now, signed by the poll workers, at the end, after the zero tape is run and the totals tape is run, the poll workers will sign the poll tape. So we got tapes that had been printed on the 15th, and when we started looking between the two tapes is when we started finding, you know, vote differences, discrepancies.
Discrepancies. What type of discrepancies were you finding?
In most cases, it was 5-10 votes. It wasn't anything really large. But then in precinct 215, there was a 100-vote-plus discrepancy in between the two totals from what was printed on the 2nd and the 15th.
In a single precinct?
In a single precinct.
Now, why? Let me back up. Why were you even there in the first place? Were you looking for vote fraud? Did you suspect there was fraud? George W. Bush, I understand, won handily this year in Florida, as opposed to 2000 when they ended up giving him 500 votes. But that was, of course, without counting all the votes. What was going on in Florida? Why were you there?
Well, in particular, in Volusia County. In the 2000 election, Al Gore got minus 16,022 votes in Volusia County on Diebold software.
Diebold, Diebold being the number one voting machine company in America, correct?
In America, correct.
And Al Gore got how many votes on their machine?
Minus 16,022.
They must really not like Al Gore in Volusia County.
They must not. Now, it was blamed on bad memory cards, but you've got to keep in mind that if the memory card's bad, the machine doesn't work. The same situation happened in Florida in 2004 in Volusia County. In fact, I have a copy here in my files of a letter that was sent by Diebold to Volusia County telling them that they had more memory card failures than all of the other Diebold counties in Florida combined.
And what does that mean, a memory card failure?
Well, the memory cards, when you're voting, the ballot is run through the scanner and the votes are put onto a memory card, and then the memory card, the votes are either brought into the central count area, and then the votes are uploaded into the machine, or you can modem in the results from far-flung parts of the county. Now, in Volusia County, they have one depot, and that the depot is on the Daytona Beach Speedway, right in front of it. And
this is a place where they bring those memory cards to drop them off to be counted at a central location, right?
To be for the votes on those cards to be transmitted to the central count computer via phone line or internet.
Okay, so they bring them to this depot to have the memory cards counted.
Right, and the poll workers are encouraged not to get out of their car, just to hand the people at the depot their bag with their elections materials in it.
Why are they encouraged not to get out of their car?
To make it more convenient, you know, they've worked all day, and and, you know.
So they want to rest. They don't want to trouble them to have to get out.
Right.
So it's a drive-through.
You know, just drive-through handoff of the election materials.
Now, well, in all seriousness, is there a reason? I mean, it's not because they're tired. I mean, why?
No.
I really don't know the answer.
Because you break the chain of command. I have a friend who told me that the best way to manipulate a Diebold election would be using memory cards and modeming in the results, because Diebold is particularly vulnerable because of the way their modem is set up. The votes are transmitted in straight ASCII text, and for the non-technical people, it's like sending a fax that you can read. It's not scrambled, it's not encrypted, so anybody can look at it and read it.
Do you have reason to believe that these machines down in Volusia, Florida, were Volusia County, were hacked?
I don't know that they were hacked. I know that there were 60 bad memory cards down there, and that's quite a bit for an election. And the errors were mostly centered on East Volusia, where most of the memory card failures were noted. In fact, all the memory cards that went bad were going bad in East Volusia, where they were taking their election materials to a depot and dropping them off and breaking the chain of command.
So you have tapes that show that all the memory cards just happened to fail. Questionable items that you saw down there that you pulled out of the trash that might have changed the results in Florida. Are you suggesting?
No, Volusia County wouldn't have changed the election results, but it certainly underscores the vulnerabilities with these machines and why it's so important that we have the ballots. You know, they have optical scan machines there, so they're able to go back and look at the ballots if they need to.
Okay, so they back down in Volusia, they can go back and count the votes if they need to?
Oh, sure, because they have a paper optical scan ballot.
And does that mean then that even if you found problems with the memory cards that you're talking about, that if we went back and did a recount, we could get an accurate count of Volusia County?
More than likely, yeah. That's what I would see. Okay, let's see.
But have we done a recount of Volusia County, or is there a reason to?
No. I mean, it's the election's over there. I mean, you know, the thing that we need to worry about and watch for now is you know, the upcoming 2006 midterms.
What should we be watching for?
The fix being in.
Are you suggesting what evidence do you have that the fix is in?
Well, I don't have any evidence, but it's certainly capable. I mean. As an example, last September we did a press conference in Washington, D.C., where we had gone to California and showed a chimp how to change the audit log in the Diebold voting system. Now, you've got to keep in mind that the audit log is analogous to the black box in an aircraft. It records everything that happens in the system during an election.
Right.
So we trained a chimpanzee how to take entries out of the audit log. Diebold said, "Oh, it's all smoke and mirrors."
You trained an actual chimpanzee how to do this?
Now you got to keep in mind this was a special chimpanzee. He had been on a television show in Germany for many years, so you know this was no ordinary chimp.
I see. So the not ordinary chimp, what did he do?
He deleted entries in the audit log. Diebold says, "Oh, that's all smoke and mirrors. It could never happen. It would never happen." And then on September 14th, we came back here to Washington State and watched our own election primary and did a FOIA, public records request, and discovered that there was a 3.5-hour gap in the audit log, basically the same thing that we had shown the chimpanzee how to do.
Brother. So clearly there's chimpanzees in Washington. That's what we've learned from all of this.
Yes, because Diebold emphatically stated that you know, the audit log could not be changed by any human intervention.
Aha. So there you go. It was chimpanzees. We're speaking with vote fraud investigator Andy Stevenson, formerly of Black Box Voting, currently with VelvetRevolution.us, and the education director for Vote Trust USA. You talked about Washington. You're from Washington. There was an election in Washington that was hotly contested, the governor's race up there. Did you look into that particular race?
Well, Yeah, I did, actually. I was sitting home early December, and my, well, it was about the 8th or 9th of December, and my phone rang, and it was a reporter for the Seattle Times, and he asked me if I knew that I had been disenfranchised. And I asked him, I said, what? Apparently a list of 723 ballots had come out in King County that they weren't going to count because there was no signature on the absentee ballot card, which if they had gone to the warehouse and looked in the warehouse, they would have found my signature on file. But they chose not to. Instead, they just chose to throw my ballot out and disenfranchise me.
Your vote was not counted?
No, not in the November general election it wasn't, so I didn't get to vote for president this year.
Oh, that's too bad. Now, apparently a lot of other people didn't either. In Ohio, where there was lines...
Ohio was awful.
Are you sure it was awful, or is it just a conspiracy theory by people like you who are unhappy that your candidate didn't win?
My candidate didn't win long before the official candidate lost.
So. What does that mean?
I'm a dini.
Ah, you're a diniac.
I'm a diniac, totally.
Ah, okay. Well, because conspiracy theories abound about the election. That's what I'm told. Apparently, everybody who thinks there was a problem just because we can't go back and count the votes accurately, all of those people apparently are nuts. I guess I'm one of them. Call me crazy, but in places like Ohio, where a single precinct that had 630 voters total that day ended up showing that for George W. Bush, there was over 4,000 votes in that single precinct. And guess who it was who found it? It was those conspiracy theorists on the Internet, those bloggers who actually gave a damn, looked at the numbers, pored over them, and found this stuff. And you got to wonder what, you know, you heard Clint Curtis last hour. Don't know if his software ever got into any voting programs or not, but the fact that it can, are you as troubled by that as I am?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of Ohio, I was in Ohio on the ground late December and early January. And in Warren County, home of the infamous Homeland Security lockdown.
Now, tell us about that real quick, if you can. We're coming up on a break, I think. But tell us what that Warren County lockdown was about.
Well, Homeland Security, apparently there was a terrorist threat for Warren County the night of the election. Now, Warren County wouldn't really warrant. I don't think there's anything there for Homeland Security to be worried about. But they shut the counting room down, and nobody was allowed into the counting room. In that county, in one precinct alone, I found a discrepancy between the poll book and the roster. The roster is where you sign in, and then in the poll book they show that you voted. There were 18 votes in Warren County, precinct 4, that should not have been there.
And 18 extra votes?
18 extra votes. Now, you know, 18 votes doesn't sound like much, but if you were to spread that out over, you know, the entire state of Ohio, all that would take would be 11 votes per precinct in Ohio to switch the election from Bush to Kerry.
Yeah, because I think the final total was like 118,000, and had 60,000 votes gone for Kerry instead of Bush, he would be the president now.
Mm-hmm. By the way,
yeah.
Volusia County, the final total in Volusia County was 97,981, or 48.02% of the vote for George Bush, and 104,726, or 51.33% for Kerry.
A few votes here, a few votes there. Was that the strategy as far as you're concerned? Was there a concerted strategy to steal the election?
My gut tells me, yeah, that the election was stolen. I mean, I've seen a lot of the evidence. I've found a lot of the evidence myself, and I think there was some real troubling trends that happened with this year's election.
And what
last year's election?
Is there anything that can be done about this sort of thing?
Well, you know, we the people have to take a more active role in our elections. I think we've become lazy and allowed this situation to come about, and I think it's time that we we take a little bit more responsibility for it than we have.
How do we do that? How can we take responsibility? People feel that there's nothing they can do about it. The machine is working against them.
There's, you know, the machine, yeah, they're there right now, but, you know, there's several bills that are working in Congress. There's a lot of groups that are working on this issue. It's not as hopeless as some people would think. I think we're making great headway. I mean, I remember 3 years ago when I was working this issue, I would literally be standing out on the street corner passing out flyers that I had homemade, and, you know, people would say, oh, this is crazy, it can't happen, it's conspiracy theory, and now we've got people nationwide that are working the issue.
Let's talk about velvetrevolution.us after we get back at the bottom of the hour. I know you're working on that, and they're taking an action. Of course, I'm part of that. So let's talk about that and what kind of effect we can have. You're listening to Andy Stevenson here on The Brad Show via Raw Radio.
Raw Radio. Radio. Radio.
Listening to the IBC Radio Network with the Brad Show, Raw Radio, exclusively here on the IBC Radio Network. You can catch Brad nightly, well, you can catch Brad every Saturday night, 7 p.m. till 11 p.m. Eastern Time for 4 full hours. And Brad is actually on remote right now on a different studio. He's not at an IBC studio or anything even connected with IBC, so he's having some technical difficulties over there and everything else. So when he returns and gets situated, he'll be here on the IBC Radio Network in our studio, and he'll be able to you'll be able to listen to him nice, crisp, and clear. And that's about it. So you're listening to The Brad Show, Raw Radio, on the IBC Radio Network. And remember, you can catch him here every Saturday night, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the IBC Radio Network. The show may not be rebroadcast without the express written permission of IBCRN. For more information, check out our website, IBCRN.com or IBCRadio.com. And also check out the corporate website, IBCmedia.com. They're a publicly traded company. IBC is a publicly traded company. Their ticker symbol is IBCS. That's IBCS. We'll be back with Brad right after this.
Second hour, Andy Stevenson, vote fraud investigator. We're going to be here tonight for two more hours after this as I figure out how to be a radio host. Man, I'm glad you guys are out there playing along and listening. We're getting some notes that you are out there. And in fact, they keep telling me to give the phone number to call in, which is 314-781-6540. We're going to have to get ourselves an 800 number. Of course, what does it matter if we can't patch you through? We're going to keep trying to. Hey, if you'd like to send email to The Brad Show, you can do so by sending to thebradblog@seaville.com. Coming up in the next hour, investigative journalist Larissa Alexandrovna, and the hour after that, Tribune Syndicate editor and columnist Robert Kohler. But we're back here now with Andy Stevenson. We're fighting the power. We're trying to be the media and make some noise out there. Also trying to fight the powers that be, the American election machine companies, who are now getting millions of dollars via the Help America Vote Act to put paperless voting machines where the source code can't be read, where the votes can't be checked, all over the country. These things are coming in, and what... Can you talk a little bit, Andy, about the Help America Vote Act? Do you know anything about it? And what is what's the plan now for these millions of dollars for these voting machines?
Well, a few misconceptions about HAVA is, for example, it doesn't require that we get rid of punch cards. It does require that we have an education program surrounding punch cards so that we don't have to have the hanging Chad issue. Although I'm not as sold on punch cards.
So they don't have to use these voting machines, do they?
They have to have one per precinct for the visually handicapped or the handicapped. Although there are systems out there now that would work with the I like optical scan myself. I think it's the cheapest and the best method to use, as long as there's proper controls, proper auditing around the machines. But go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so optical. Just to clarify, optical scan machines, how is that different from the, they call them the DREs?
Basically, you're making your choices on a piece of paper instead of a touch screen.
And then it's counted by machine still,
an
right?
An optical scan machine, right. But if you put the proper controls in and the proper auditing procedures in place, then you're going to have a reasonably safe election.
And are the proper auditing safeguards in place?
No. Unfortunately, in Washington State, for example, the difference between two candidates has to be a quarter of a percentage point or less, which is an incredibly small number when you're...
You mean before a recount is actually occurs?
Right.
So
right, before a hand recount. Now, if it's a half a percentage point, you get an automatic machine recount. If it's a quarter of a percentage point or less, then you can get a hand count. But otherwise, we never look at the paper again in Washington State once it runs through the machine.
Andy, why the hell is it so difficult to have confidence in our voting system? Why do we have these situations where we only recount, we only check if it's, you know, a quarter of a percent? Why aren't random audits built into this system? If we're going to have machines counting, why the hell aren't there random audits to make sure that the thing is accurate?
Well, you're preaching to the choir, my friend, and that's what we're working for. You know, the auditing is just as important as, you know, making sure that all the ballots are, you know, secure. I mean, auditing is got to be a part of the whole system. Otherwise, we're not going to get it right.
Why is it not? Is it cost? Is it one party over another? I mean, why are these safeguards not in place? Look, this is the United States of America. Theoretically, it's the world's most important democracy. Why can't we have confidence in our vote that whoever won, whether we like the guy or not, why can't we have confidence that the winner actually won? Why don't we have these laws?
Well, part of it is, you know, speed. Elections offices around the country are typically understaffed, they're underfunded, they're trying to do a lot with a very little bit of money. Technology, you know, helps them to do their job quicker. When you've got newspaper people screaming down your back for results, and you've got, you know, the candidates asking for the results, you know, and you're stretched thin, you know, that's really no way to run elections. Well, now comes along, you know, these machines that make it so much easier. They don't have to worry about storing a paper, you know, on and on. But they don't realize the hidden costs in having to have the Diebold technician run your election. For example, in Glades County, Florida, the election supervisor there doesn't know how to run a computer. She doesn't want to know how to run a computer. So instead of having somebody in-house, they pay the fee, and in comes an unnamed Diebold technician who runs her election. And she doesn't know the guy's name.
And these are these private companies are being paid with public money, taxpayer dollars, to run these public elections. Let's talk
about public elections, and they're not sworn in. They have no need, or should they be even touching that machine while there's a live election going on, because they're not paid by the, you know, their salary's coming from the taxpayer, but they're not a government employee.
Let's talk a little bit about VelvetRevolution.us. You're one of our advisors. Velvet Revolution, I'll say, is a company. I wish. It's an organization. Maybe we might have some money there if we were a company. It's an organization that I co-founded with Justice Through Music, Bradblog.com, founded with Justice Through Music. We now have, I believe, we're over 100 affiliates of true voting rights and election reform organizations, and we are taking on the voting machine companies. You've been advising us.
Having results.
Are we having results?
They're paying attention. I can guarantee you they're paying attention.
Well, one of the things that we did was on President's Day, February 21 of this year, we sent a letter to all 9 of the major American voting machine companies asking them to open their hardware and software, asking them to include paper ballots with every vote cast, asking them to institute corporate policies that kept their CEOs, like CEO, Diebold CEO, Walden O'Dell, from sending out a fundraiser to Republicans, promising to deliver the state of Ohio to George W. Bush. We think that's the right thing to do. We think that they ought to be patriotic and do these right things for their country. And frankly, I don't give a damn what they do in Washington, and I don't, they're going to fight about these election bills, and there's a lot of them up there. A lot of them are by Democrats, but they'll never see the light of day.
You're right.
And
you're right. But that's why it's, you know, it can't be it, the whole issue can't be about Democrat or Republican. It's an American issue. It's our fundamental right. I say nothing else counts if our ballot doesn't.
You know, you're right. I've been doing a lot of shows myself as guest, which, by the way, is much easier. I've been talking about the fact that, frankly, it's not about right versus left. This is about right versus wrong. It doesn't really matter who wins. We just need to have confidence that the one who did win is the one who actually got the most votes.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
Now, one of the things that we're doing, we've sent this letter. We've given these guys 60 days, these American voting machine companies, to announce publicly that they are going to do the right thing. And if they aren't, well, we are going to launch a massive divestiture and boycott against these companies, their affiliates and their clients, because, frankly, enough is enough. And, you know, right now it's Velvet Revolution. It's about the people. It's a citizens brigade banding together. Come on by velvetrevolution.us, by the way, and send email to the companies, the American voting machine companies. I know they love hearing from you. We have a link there that says click here to email the companies and
go visit them.
Yeah.
Go visit them.
Yeah, please
knock
do.
Knock on their doors.
Ooh, should we go knock on the doors of Diebold?
They're in McKinney, Texas. right off of Highway 75.
Diebold is in Texas?
Well, their elections offices are in Vancouver, British Columbia, and McKinney, Texas. They originally started in Vancouver. They started life as a mining company, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, they're like a really old company, aren't they?
The elections division wasn't always Diebold. It was bought a few years back by. It used to be called Global Elections, and originally it was a mining company in Canada.
But now they make vote machines.
Now they make voting machines, right?
And by the way, one of the things they say when I've heard they can't possibly open up their hardware and software for inspection, because that would allow their competitors to find out what they're doing, and they can't use open source software to do it, and yet. I see on their website that Diebold sells open source ATM machines that produce a paper receipt. Oddly enough, there's no problem doing it on ATM machines. What reason do they give for not doing it for our elections?
Well, they've sort of got a talking point with the National Federation of the Blind. Where they talk about paper would disenfranchise blind voters, but the blind voters that I've spoken with unanimously, you know, say they want paper, and they're in sharp contrast with some of the blind groups out there.
So the reason that America doesn't get paper with their ballots is because the blind people have a problem with that.
Well, no, not the only reason, but that's one of them. I mean, the manufacturers have actively courted disability groups. I mean, there are plenty of solutions out there for the handicapped, and I don't want to sound like I'm slamming handicapped people at all, because I'm not.
Why do you hate handicapped people, Andy?
Why do I? Yes.
What do you have against the blind?
I have nothing against the blind, and in fact, there's a system made by, it's called the AutoMark, and we'll do an optical scan ballot for the handicapped using a touchscreen system.
We're going to talk a little bit about that after we get back from this break. If I understand this clock, I think we're back in like 2 minutes with Andy Stevenson here on The Brad Show. Give us a call at 314-781-6540. We will be right back.
Radio. Thank you.
The Brad Show. I'm your host, Brad Friedman, here on the air on the premiere edition of The Brad Show, live on Raw Radio, going out around the country over the satellites of IBC Satellite Radio Network. We're going to be here for two more hours if all holds out. We're currently speaking with vote fraud investigator Andy Stevenson. Are you still there, or have we lost you, Andy?
I'm here.
This really is Raw Radio. We're doing this by the seat of our pants, and I really appreciate you jumping in and playing along and acting like everything's okay. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, no problem. Everything is okay. You're doing great, man.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. I had a call from Larissa Alexandrovna, who is our next guest after the top of the hour, editor and investigative journalist from RawStory.com. I wonder how they got their guest in here. She wanted to talk to you live while we were on the air, but I think we might have lost her. So.
Oh, no. Well, I would love to say hi to Larissa. You know, she's a damn fine reporter. I'm glad she's on our side. Let me take real quick second. I want to say hi to Fly By Night and Jennifer Clark, Bush's Wacko, and Florida Dem. They're some good friends of mine over at DemocraticUnderground.com.
Aha, DemocraticUnderground.com. Hang on one.
Yes, my hangout on the web.
Very good. Listen, I'm told to give the number, 314-781-6540. And, man, I don't even know if we would have been able to get Larissa through had she called. So call back if you want, Larissa. Otherwise, we'll call you at the top of the hour because you're the next guest. If anyone else has any questions for vote fraud investigator Andy Stevenson, feel free to give us a call. And who knows, we may be able to get you on the air. I'll believe it when I hear it. So we were talking a little bit about before the break in our last few minutes here, VelvetRevolution.us taking on the voting machine companies head on. But by the way, it's a citizens brigade, so we do need the citizens to come on by and sign up, make some noise over there. We're going to talk about another action that Velvet Revolution, or VR as we call it, is doing in the next hour with Larissa. But you said you thought we were having an effect. What gives you that impression that our campaigns over there are having an effect?
Call it gut.
Yeah.
I've met in my time now a lot of these voting machine people, and I've had my dealings with them, and they're watching. They've got their eye right on it, and they're either taking appropriate steps or they're ignoring it. And I think they're probably taking appropriate steps at this point.
Well, I do know that we are having an effect with the new campaign that we just launched a few days ago concerning this fixed, phony Jimmy Carter election commission that was formed, frankly, in secret.
And the Fix-It Commission?
Yeah, the Fix-It Commission. They're here to fix the election problems. Oh, brother, we're going to talk a little bit about that in the next hour with Larissa Alexandrovna, and I understand we are having an effect in that regard. So what's next? What can people do to restore their democracy, Andy Stevenson? Is there steps we can take, or are we completely...
Well, I would like to see people signing up to work as poll workers. They're always needing poll workers, always. And, you know, more people need to sign up to do that. Get involved. Write letters. Learn the issue. I mean, again, it's real important. It's incumbent upon us to take what steps are necessary to protect our vote.
Hey, listen, I'm getting a signal that we're almost out in 1 minute, but I think we've got Larissa Alexandrovna on the line. She wants to talk to you. Let's see if we can actually patch her through. Larissa, are you there?
I am.
Oh, look at that. We got two
callers.
I'm the
guinea pig.
Nice going. You are officially the first caller that was able to get through to this thing. We only got a minute, but less than that, before we got to go.
Well, you're going to be talking to me. How can you have a minute?
Well, then we take a break, Larissa. This is how radio works. Don't you know anything about radio?
Oh.
Is this
okay.
Your first radio show?
I can't hear Larissa.
No, it's just the first one I get to play on.
And as a matter of fact, Andy can't hear you. So we're only halfway there at
Hi,
some
Larissa.
Point. Perhaps
Andy! Oh, so we can't talk about, God blog?
Hey, you can talk about whatever you want as long as you can do it
Ask
in what?
Ask Andy about God blog.